Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Astros and Twins tied at one game apiece. The Astros won 6-4 on Saturday thanks to two Yordan Alvarez home runs and a great start. Six scoreless innings by Justin Verlander. He did get some help from his defense early. Jose Altuve also hit the first pitch that he saw of the game out of the park. But yesterday, the Twins won 6-2. It wasn't even that close. Yordan Alvarez had a two-run home run in the eighth inning. Pablo Lopez for the Twins, one of the best strikeout getters in all of baseball, threw seven scoreless innings. The Astros didn't even have a runner make it to third base in the seven innings he was in the game. And Carlos Correa was great. 3-for-4, three runs batted in, got a lot of boos. And the other thing we discussed a lot this morning is about Astros fans at Minute Maid Park over the weekend. A less than whelming effort, and I really hope that the Astros take care of business these next two games. I'm not fretting. I'm not freaking out. I'm not acting like the sky is falling like a lot of you guys are. Pablo Lopez was probably going to do this to you. The offense needs to step up because Yordan Alvarez, Altuve, and Jeremy Pena are really the only guys for the Astros who have hit thus far. Those who are pointing at Martin Maldonado being in the lineup as a reason for the Astros' struggles offensively, or him being left in the fifth inning after Framber had been pulled instead of Yiner Diaz going into the game. I think you're just looking for reasons to get mad at Dusty Baker, which you have been doing a lot this year. There's lots of scandals coming out of this weekend's series, though. First off, let's start with on Saturday. Before the game, Mattress Mack was supposed to throw the first pitch. Big Mattress Firm got in the way and wouldn't let him throw the first pitch because I guess they are a sponsor of Major League Baseball, and they've done this per Mattress Mack before. And look, Mattress Mack has gotten a tad much for me. I got to say, miss me with all of the political endorsements, you know, because I do think it's kind of hypocritical that you gamble as much as you do, but you think it's immoral to have gambling legal in Texas. Doesn't really add up to me. But Mattress Mack is an unofficial Astros mascot. And as the great Paul Wall said in one of the best rap songs ever, "How About Them Stros?" I remember way back when they tried to disrespect in Philadelphia Mattress Mack. When he said that, like, that's a rallying cry here. And big baseball stepping in and not letting Mattress Mack, that should motivate the Houston Astros, you know? Much like this should motivate the Houston Astros, and we talked about it last week. The Twins, they done bleeped up their fans because at least multiple Twins fans, after winning their play-in series against, who do they play? I don't even remember.
Toronto.
Toronto, right.
I just like the phrase, at least multiple Twins fans.
At least multiple.
It was enough to where there was a sound clip of it.
One is enough, Sean. Just one fan, that was enough. And these Twins fans, they said, we want Houston. Oh, mistake, at least on Saturday. And I know some people think this storyline has jumped the shark. Sean Mapes is raising his hand. Personally, I don't. How dare those Twins fans say that? How dare they? And I'm so thankful that one of the other best rappers in Houston, not Paul Wall, but Mark Drew Dog, I'm glad that he clapped back at the people of Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. Look, see, we be just chilling, minding our own. Twin City's talking so crazy. Let's get it. Say that you on Houston, you ain't never won nothing. Why they talking crazy? They ain't never done nothing. Okay, you want a central, but you ain't never run nothing. Acting like you ready for the squad. Where yeah, you done from? Look, man, I know you gassed up like you ready for war, but it's our seventh in a row. You know we ready for more. Feel free to talk, but when you do it, please sound like you mean it. You saying, but don't sound like you believe it. Your voice shaking like you're nervous. I get it with Dominic. It's just what New York said it. Most of them fans sounded confident. John Houston and the LDS just don't seem fair. I just hate we gotta handle up with Carlos Correa. But goddamn, homie, in H-Town, you was the man,
Manhattan, homie. Now you missing your peers. We're like Candyman and Minimate, you're facing your fears. You say we won Houston three times in the mirror, and we'll appear going back to back, then back to back again. Treat the bases like a carousel, we're up to bat again. So I'ma ask you one more again, are you sure you want Houston? Cause the last two that said that, they ended up losing.
Oh!
Yeah, say that you want Houston, you ain't never won nothing. While they talking crazy, they ain't never done nothing.
They done none. Damn. Big shout out to our guy, Mark Drew, a.k.a. Drew Dog, because he's got that dog in him.
In his name, yes, that he gave himself. Yes.
I actually gave him that nickname. I'm not even sure what his name is as a rapper. But I think he's going places. And, Sean, you think that this storyline has jumped a shark. No, it hasn't.
It hasn't.
And honestly,
once we have diss tracks, once we're using 20-year-old songs to diss Minnesota about chanting "We want Houston,"
well, honestly,
what are you doing?
No, because we need to motivate the fans. Like that
should work.
That should have been played at Minute Maid Park, and on loop. You just over the video because you don't want to see him rapping. You just show Jeremy Pena like pelvic thrusting and heart handing.
Yeah.
Right.
To Wangsta by 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. Houston rapper, 50 Cent.
Yeah. Honestly, we needed to get 50 Cent out there, now that I think about it.
He should throw the first pitch. That normally goes well.
I forgot he had one of the worst first pitches ever. Okay.
Maybe that's why he doesn't do them anymore.
Sean, there's more scandals to get through.
Oh, my God.
There's more
than the Twins fans chanting,
oh,
we
yeah.
want Houston?
This
wow.
one might be bad. This one's on Astros fans who already did a bad job at Minute Maid Park. Did you know that some Astros fans told Carlos Correa, good luck before this series? Make up your mind, first off, during the game. You're going to wish him good luck, but then boo him during the game?
Yeah.
Frauds. But
or fake tough guys.
Sean. These people who wished him good luck actually gave him good luck. They should have said break a leg because it's like sarcastic. It's sarcastic luck wishing.
And his ankle is like made of paper mache, right?
Break an ankle?
That's why he didn't make $150 more dollars than he did.
That's true. That's why he's not a San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, he would have made $300 million.
Or New York Mets.
If his ankle, which had never cost him any time as a major league player, wasn't so badly messed up.
How many teams did he sign with? It was the Mets and the Giants, Giants and the Mets?
It was the Giants, and they were like ready to announce him.
Okay.
And then some doctor ran across the hall and was like, no, his ankle. It looks like a shark bite victim. I don't know.
He looks like a horse. We gotta put him down.
It's on backwards. We can't have him play. And then the Mets like swooped in. I think it was mostly like Steve Cohen's like, hey, go get this guy. And then once they did the due diligence, they're like, And then he signed with the Twins for like kind of a discount.
That did happen. So another scandal. We've talked about how Twins fans said we want Houston. Led to that beautiful piece of art that we just played for you. We talked about Astros fans wishing Carlos Correa luck. So perhaps the fans have balanced each other out. Leave it to baseball to step in and carry out their anti-Astros agenda. Did you guys know that Minute Maid Park last night, the roof was open? Dusty Baker, before last night's game, was asked if that was an Astros team decision. Here's what our skipper had to say.
How much input do the staff and players have in that decision? And is there any discernible difference with the roof open?
Probably the staff and players, none. That was a league decision.
The league stepped in and opened the roof. And yeah, Yordan Alvarez hit a home run. But the Astros had a lot of fly balls. And I'm sorry to go Aaron Boone here, but a lot of those Astros fly balls, and I know baseball probably better than anybody in this city, a lot of those balls were going out of the park. Like, there were a couple of definite home runs that turned into pop-outs, and it was because the roof was open. And you can't tell me otherwise. How would you know? Oh, are you God? Oh, are you a weatherman? Oh, are you a windologist? Are you an aerologist? Oh, you're not? Oh, you're full of crap? Unlike me? Big baseball, doesn't want the Astros in the World Series. They want a team from a big market like Minneapolis / St. Paul and the Midwest in the World Series. And here they are, Midwest cornfield / wheatfield coast bias, stepping in and hurting the Astros. They would have hit at least 9 home runs last night if not for the open roof. You saw all those fly balls and pop-outs. They were leaving the yard.
Yeah, Martin Maldonado hits at least 2 of them out of there. There's two right now that I can close my eyes and picture. Those go to the Crawford boxes.
And Aaron Boone isn't allowed to complain about that.
No, loser.
Right. But we are, because that's our house, and we should be allowed to do with our house what we want.
We built this house, yeah.
We did. And big baseball stepping in, making us open the roof. All that great air conditioning, leaving the ballpark. Ooh, it was a sub-70-degree night. Yeah, it got a little chilly. I had to put a jacket on.
Yeah, you were there. You were in the front lines.
I was cold.
Yeah, shivering up a storm.
It wasn't good.
If only people were yelling to make it warmer.
Yeah, I didn't listen. You know, I wear shirts that are a little bit tight, and I don't want anyone seeing my tiny pointy nipples when it's cold out.
And Rob Manfred almost made people see your pointy nipples.
Right. I was about to write a New York Times column about the dangers of not air conditioning, the dangers of ever exposing yourself to the air while at work. Okay? And here we are. So lots of scandals. What's your favorite scandal from this weekend's Astros and Twins games? You can weigh in at 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. If you're mad at Dusty Baker, you could do that too. Although I don't really think you have much ground to be mad about with Dusty Baker other than him not telling Big Baseball to go stuff it, texting them nuts when they said that they were going to open the roof. Up next, this was just a crap weekend when it comes to not just Houston sports, but Texas sports, because Oklahoma is in Oklahoma and South Oklahoma is also in Oklahoma. Let's power rank the most depressing moments of the weekend in Texas sports. Sean Mapes is like, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, we do got to talk about the Red River Shootout. Pew, pew, pew. Oh, no, Sark. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Sign up with promo code BET975 and you will get a welcome bonus. And honestly, at this point, I'm just so bad at picking games. I don't even want to pick games anymore. But you can fade me. You can see what I do. And you know what you can do? You can just bet against it. So, what's going on tonight, Paul? Is there a football game? Yeah, there is. Monday Night Football, the Las Vegas Raiders and Green Bay Packers. It is in Vegas, and the Raiders are 2-point favorites against the Packers. So the Packers obviously aren't the teams of old with Jordan Love under center. There's no Aaron Rodgers. There's no Brett Favre. The mystique is gone. And honestly, I don't feel confident picking any football games right now. So take all of this with a grain of salt, but the Raiders are 2-point favorites. Paul, you said the same thing about the Falcons being 1.5-point favorites over the Texans. Whatever, man. The Raiders stink. Josh McDaniels stinks. Who's going to be quarterback for the Raiders? Is it wounded Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Aiden McScottish-sounding last name? I don't know. But the Packers should win this game. They should. So take the Packers to cover the 2-point spread. MyBookie.ag is how you can do it with promo code BET975 for that deposit bonus. You get a free chip to use in the MyBookie Casino too. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, home of non-human intelligence.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone, yeah.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
People aren't buying into Major League Baseball trying to steal a repeat championship. away from the hated Houston Astros. A text. Minute Maid Park is so small, you can bunt a home run. Stop making excuses. Jose Altuve bunted the first at-bat of the game. Did that leave the ballpark? No.
Because the roof was open.
It was open. That would have been out of the park. Just like his first pitch home run on Saturday, that was gone. Sorry you don't know ball, like me, like Sean. Sorry you don't know air, like me, like Sean. Sorry you don't know about the dynamic of the Minute Maid Park roof. Aaron Boone knew. Now, was he full of crap when he said it? Yeah, because he's for the New York Yankees. But when it happened to the Houston Astros and all those fly balls that were home runs, clearly, including like those two pop flies in the infield, those were gone. But the air, man.
Blew it in. Yeah.
The Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
El Nino. That got in the way, too. I don't know what El Nino is.
I know Spanish.
What means the baby in Spanish, well, the child.
El Nino, yeah.
But I don't know what, but I'm sure that had something to do with it too. Global warming? I don't know. I don't know. Sounded like global, it felt like global cooling last night. And it
am
definitely
right?
Cooled down those Astros bats. Let me tell you.
Yeah, it was not a Big Bang Theory.
No. Another text. What's the point of building a stadium with a roof if you're not going to use it? Ask the Texans. They know.
They didn't use it last night. That was the problem. They have a perfectly good roof that they could have used, and they decided not to use the roof.
Sometimes it's just about having options and big schmenzering, you know?
It definitely was a, like, we can build one with a retractable roof.
Yeah.
Why don't we?
Because it's hot as balls all year.
Yeah. Well, it's like, so if it's hot all the time, just build an actual roof. It's like, yeah, but sometimes you're going to want to crack it open, I guess.
It's
sometime.
Like buying a convertible and living in anywhere except for California. You're not going to use it that much, but it's the option. Comment on Twitch. You know what? I'm cool with this because we need to make sure the roof is closed. Squid Chef. I hate to tell you, there has been a spike in COVID since August when the roof was closed, but I'm all for it closed. We better not open it again in these playoffs. Yeah, Anthony Fauci and Big Baseball stepping in and forcing the roof to be open.
I think that's just a sacrifice that if you're going to an Astros game, you're like, hey, the roof will be closed. The Astros will win. I might get COVID.
A texter says Major League Baseball made them open the roof. Yeah, we know.
Yeah,
welcome
Dusty
to the party.
Us.
Dusty told us that. It wasn't the Astros who opened this. Come on. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What happened over the weekend to the Astros? Not good. But not the end of the world. That's why we're having some fun this morning. It's 1-1. It's going back to Minnesota. This team is very good on the road. Someone texted in, we both know that they're going to Minnesota and they're not going to come back. Yeah, because they're probably going to win the series. Like, I still feel pretty confident in them. They're not going up against Pablo Lopez every single game. Lopez scares me, and a game five, you can't let it happen. You have to take care of business tomorrow and on Wednesday in those afternoon games. You have to. He is really, really good. He's had success against you this year, as have the Twins. You can't sleep on Minnesota, but I still feel pretty good about them. But, man, it was a rough weekend for sports in Texas. Last night at the same time as the Astros losing to the Twins 6-2, you saw the Dallas Cowboys get absolutely annihilated. Sean Mapes' Dallas Cowboys by the San Francisco 49ers. Woof. Dak Prescott said afterwards, this might be the most humbling loss we've had. 42-10 at Levi's Stadium on Sunday Night Football. Got to stop voicing the NFC East and the Bears on us in primetime. They really do. We got to get away from it. I'm glad I didn't have to watch that game. So there's that. There's the Red River Shootout. Oh, damn. Sean Mapes, Texas Longhorns, also went down in a game where Steve Sarkisian looked good early. Not so good later on. 34-30. Oklahoma ends up winning that one. Dylan Gabriel for Oklahoma. Holy crap. What a game by him.
Yeah. Mike Vick out there.
It's very annoying when somebody who is decidedly not Mike Vick runs all over you and you have no answer for him. watching Dylan Gabriel do what he did reminded me of the terrible quarterback for our high school arch rival my senior year, who ran for like 200 yards against us despite not being able to throw a pass 5 yards. And we lost the game to our arch rival because this little tiny quarterback ran all over us. That was sort of watching Dylan Gabriel do that to Texas. Like, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, I hate that kid. I hate him.
That now is like 34 years old.
Yeah.
I hate that kid.
I hate him. I hope his life was a failure. What? He spiked the ball in my face after one of the touchdowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, did you play in the NFL Blitz League of high school football?
No. That was it, though. It was understandable.
An accident?
No, it wasn't. It was on purpose. It was 100% on purpose. Yeah, you're right.
Why did he do that?
I don't know.
No, you said it was understandable. Why was it understandable that he did that?
No, like, I mean, they had just won the game. It was 21-0. That was it.
That was it.
We had no chance of coming back.
I thought it was...
That was the decisive spike on the game. Like, we were done.
I thought it was like you were talking smack game or
no,
something.
I wish I had. I told our coaches, like, this kid can't throw. Can we bring in somebody else to spy? And they kept on having me, like, go back and, like, deep coverage. So, here we are. Yeah.
Your coaches under the bus. Wow.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah.
15 years
after. My fault. Fact. I'll never let that game go. That was the worst day of my life. Actually, check that. There's been worse.
I was going to say.
But that one.
Worst loss
the
of
worst
your
day
life.
Of my football career. Anyway,
it's
sorry.
It's like Dak bring Prescott.
It back. Hang on. We're going to bring it
it's
back.
It's like Dak Prescott.
Texas A&M losing to Alabama when Nick Saban even admitted that they sucked and that he specifically sucked. Honestly, of all the losses this weekend in Texas, that one's the worst. That one's got to sting the most. The Aggies really could have won that game.
You talk about like the game management issues from Steve Sarkisian.
Oof, Jimbo.
The game management.
Did you see Jimbo say that they would have gone for it on 4th and inches, but it was 4th and 1? Jimbo, Jesus, bro.
Yeah, it was like 4th and 1.5. And he was like, well, if it was 4th and less than 1, we would have gone for it. It's like, oh my God, don't say that out loud, at least. Like,
yeah.
Jesus, dude.
So if we're power ranking the losses, Texas has got to be close to the top because Texas was supposed to be back. I think in terms of overall disappointment.
Season not over, I will say that.
Fine, Sean. That's number one. To me, that's number one.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I thought about this at the commercial break. The second one is the Aggies really could have won that game. They should have been able to win that. This is not a very good Alabama team. They gave them plenty of opportunities. So number two is that. I'll put game two for Astros and Twins at number three on the power rankings of disappointing losses. Four, I know the Cowboys fans are going to act like they were better than this, but getting your doors blown off by the San Francisco 49ers should be expected. 49ers are the best team in the NFL. I don't think it's that disappointing. If you're a real Cowboys fan,
I think just
fan,
getting like smoked is the disappointing part.
Yeah,
like all these other teams were close. they lost by 32 points.
But at least you could unplug at the end, and you're like, okay, like Dak's not the guy. Clearly, we made a mistake going back into this year with Dak. Like, you can, if you're a Cowboys fan, you can now have
you
a
can
nice,
fire the coach, you can get a new quarterback.
They'll probably fire the coach. That's the sad thing.
Yeah, because that's the easier move to do.
And then fire the last. The last one in terms of disappointment, the Texans losing to the Falcons sucks. Don't get me wrong. It feels like it's killed a lot of momentum, and I think a lot of the people that maybe were debating investing themselves in the Texans the rest of the year, you're going to say same old Texans after that loss yesterday. Totally understandable. But Stroud's good. That's really all I got. Like Stroud didn't F this game up. You could not take advantage of two fumbles that the Falcons gave you. You won the turnover battle, but you couldn't stop Desmond Ridder. The defense could not get after the passer. The Texans could not run the football. Bobby Slowick didn't look very good out there either.
Yeah, I think same old Texans would have been if they came out and lost like 34-3 or something. Like if they just like laid an absolute egg. Like I brought up last week the Denver Broncos game in 2019 after beating the Patriots in Sunday Night Football. And then you let Drew Lock throw for 4 touchdowns against you. Like, that is, like, that is same old Texans. That is, like, where it is, like, oh, my God, this franchise won the biggest wins in franchise history. And then they get absolutely embarrassed. The Texans did not get embarrassed. They played, like I texted you yesterday, they played a Big Ten West football game. They're just a million punts, million field goals. It was Iowa versus Minnesota, but it was the Texans versus
that,
the Falcons.
That game was so bad. I felt no energy all day yesterday between that game. I mean, 11 punts and 6 field goals. Ugh, gross. It's Desmond Ridder as the other quarterback. He actually wasn't bad. And then you have that game between the Astros and Twins where the crowd's dead. I'm at a playoff baseball game, and I felt like I was at a Friday game against, like, the Royals.
Where the Royals are up 6-0?
Yes, exactly like that. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Bregman's aboard for Alvarez, who lifts one to deep left center field. Back goes Stevenson at the wall, and it's gone. Another shot for Yordan Alvarez, his third of the series, and the Astros are finally on the board in the eighth.
I know. We beat you down a little bit today. We didn't like what we didn't hear at Minute Maid Park on Saturday, on Sunday, which is to say, a pulse. It wasn't great. But the series is not over. We got to get you guys back up. We got to get you excited again. There was some good. Yordan Alvarez is on fire. He's got 3 home runs in 2 games. He had that home run in last night's game. For a moment, I thought, okay, maybe there's a possibility that the Astros get back in this game. But then Carlos Correa in the 9th inning made a couple of awesome plays to ice the game. How about this? How about game 1? Jose Altuve, very first pitch that he saw. Boom!
For 2 years.
Over deals to Altuve, who launches the first pitch. Deep to left field. A familiar sight. 1-0 to Crawford Boxes.
Crowd existed there. Sad thing is, it's like that's the demand. That's the expectation. They want a home run derby. They want the game to be a convincing win. And I just don't think that this is, at this moment in time, a fan base that has the energy to deal with a close game. You just want the wins, but you don't want the struggle along the way. And it's funny. I really feel like last year, this crowd was all about it. But now, as they're looking to get a repeat and history, people are like, it's kind of a thing. Is this a baseball problem? It could be, honestly. I do think that baseball can drag from time to time. I found myself yawning a lot last night. But hey, come on, we got to get you guys excited. Justin Verlander, this was his 6th strikeout on Saturday night.
Got Correa, and he is upset with Brian Knight. A 6th Verlander strikeout. A 6th Verlander shutout inning. One of the great postseason pitchers of this generation, perhaps, in the history of the sport.
Verlander looked really good. Though it took him some time to get through the first couple of innings. But 3rd inning on, Verlander really looked like an ace, and he was getting big strikeouts along the way. That's got to make you feel pretty good, and I do think you got to use him in game 4. We'll see what they make as an announcement as far as who starts for the Astros in game 4. Right now, Christian Javier has been announced as the starter for tomorrow afternoon's game. It's not the longest amount of rest. But it's got to be Verlander. you don't really trust any of these starting pitchers right now. So legitimately, any positive performance by an Astros starter, my dumb brain, my reptile brain is going to say, yeah, they'll do that again. Some comments on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The good, Altuve, Alvarez, McCormick, Pena. The bad, Bregman, Tucker, Maldi, Brantley, and Abreu. I would focus on all of those names, people that are mad about Martin Maldonado playing. I understand that Maldonado, as a batter, is not Yiner Diaz. But the other guys have to hit. Kyle Tucker is looking to get paid, looking for that big extension eventually. He's got to deliver in this series. That's the guy I'm looking at the most. I'm not really expecting that much out of Alex Bregman in this series. I'm not expecting much out of Michael Brantley either. And I wonder if that maybe becomes a Dusty Baker decision for game three, if he does what he thought he was going to do in game one, where he puts Yiner Diaz as the designated hitter as opposed to Brantley. I mean, that might be the move. Asymmetric Risk says, we need to focus less on home runs and gets hits, but it's 2023 baseball, you know? I think that's easy for all of us to say. Focus less on home runs, get hits, but the whole sport is sort of played in this way now, where you're just trying to absolutely smack the ball out of the ballpark and get strikeouts. Pitch clock really hasn't changed it that much. The shift really hasn't changed it that much either. The Urge Belair said that Brantley did get a hit of Pablo at least. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they did get hits off of Pablo Lopez too. The problem was they just couldn't do anything of note. And there was infield hits as part of that too. You can also text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. It's very evident the stands these days are filled with fans who weren't around when we were losing 100 games a season, unfortunately. The only negative of winning a couple of titles and being relevant every year is the fair weather, big things now, or bust fans. I think that's a great way to describe it. As someone who grew up a Patriots fan, I saw this exact same thing. Foxborough Stadium, that old dump that they used to play in, where there's like toilet water coming out of the sink. Every now and then you might see a little turd when you're like washing your hands, like pop out in the sink. It became this like blue collar, super loud place. It changed into this like cake eater, ritzy crowd. And now all of a sudden, like any sign of bad by the Patriots, they're calling for heads. Man, they got their asses kicked on Sunday too. Bad sports weekend for me. Syracuse lost 40-7. The Patriots lost 34-0. It's like the two worst back-to-back losses in my life. And
it's the two worst losses of Bill Belichick's career.
Yep.
Both and they happened in week four and week five.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Not good. 713, Paul, can you mention the name of that Astros diss track again? How about we play it for you again? Because this honestly is something that we need to pick up the energy. We need to get you hyped up. Come on, people. It's just 1-1. The series isn't over. Stop falling asleep at Minute Maid Park. Paul Galacho, stick around.
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
Red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
Excellent.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, Tony Lone Star, wants to hear the song because we need to pick you up. We threw you down the stairs because of how low energy you were. We were abusive in the first hour. Minute Maid Park, let's be honest, sucked over the weekend. I'm not acting like that's the reason that the Astros lost yesterday. The series is split. The series is far from over. Really, Pablo Lopez just punched you in the mouth, as did Carlos Correa. But you punched him in the mouth in game one. You can still get back up on your feet. And you should have energy. Twins fans said they wanted you. And this song is going to get you back on your feet. Because when Twins fans said, we want Houston, Houston fans said, hey, here's a diss track coming back your way.
Yeah, yeah. Look, see, we be just chilling, minding our own. Twin Cities talking so crazy. Let's get it. Say that you want Houston, you ain't never won nothing. Why they talking crazy? They ain't never done nothing. Okay, you want a central, but you ain't never won nothing. Acting like you ready for the squad. Yeah, you done front man. I know you gassed up like you ready for war, but it's our seventh in a row. You know we ready for more.
For more.
Feel free to talk, but when you do it, please sound like you mean it. You saying
we want you,
like you believe it. Your voice shaking like you're nervous. I get it with dominance. It's just what New York said it. Most of the fans sound confident.
Oh.
John Houston in the LDS just don't seem fair. I just hate we got to handle up with Carlos Correa. But
damn.
Goddamn, homie. In H-Town, you was the man, homie. Now you're missing your peers. We're like Candyman and Minute Maid. You're facing your fears. Just say, we want Houston three times in the mirror. And we'll appear. Going back to back, then back to back again. Treat the bases like a carousel. We're up to bat again. So I'ma ask you one more again.
Yeah,
are you
man.
Sure you want Houston? Because the last two that said that, they ended up losing.
Oh.
Yeah, say that you want Houston. You ain't never won nothing. Why they talking crazy? They ain't never done nothing.
Damn, dude. Yeah, you said you want Houston? Oh, you got one game? Well, now you're going to get Houston. Now you're going to get road Houston. Now you're going to get a more lively Astros team because they were probably falling asleep at Minute Maid Park last night because of how quiet the crowd was. Right? I mean, let's be honest. It was quiet. It was. I was yawning and falling asleep. Is it because of baseball as a sport? No. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm one of the brightest baseball minds in this galaxy. But there were moments where you guys dragged just a little bit. You know? Anyway, hey, if you got some motivational pep talk for your beloved Houston Astros right now on Christopher Columbus Day, / Indigenous People Day, we'd love to hear it. Because I think everyone needs to realize that in baseball, specifically the divisional series, unlike the play-in games where it's best of three, it's best of five. So, I mean, you have to lose another one for this to even be in doubt. In case you didn't know, I don't know. A lot of people out there don't seem like they know how this stuff works. It feels like a lot of people are walking around like zombies today with the mindset that the Astros just aren't going to be able to get it done. No size comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. What do you guys say about the bye week for baseball? Houston doesn't seem to have any trouble, but the other's not so good. There is a lot of complaining being done by Orioles people, by Braves people, about that. The Braves people, there's no excuse. What, you were here last year? I don't buy into this idea that, like, the days off hurts you. I don't. I know that some players are going to say, like, well, you know, maybe you're not as focused over that period of time that you have off. Maybe it's too long. Maybe the series should begin immediately after it ends, as opposed to having the series scheduled so that it starts on Saturday and Sunday. It would be more difficult for the wild card team if the very next day they had to travel to take on the home team. But I guess from a logistics perspective, they would never do something like
yeah,
that in baseball.
And this year, when all the wild card round games are sweeps, it just like added basically a day off for the wild card round teams too. So the rest advantage wasn't as big, if you even think that there is a rest advantage, which I think there is, but maybe that's just for the Astros. because yeah. they're the only home team that won game one.
Now, we'll see what happens with game two for the Dodgers and what happens with game two for the Braves. The Rangers are up 2-0 on the Baltimore Orioles. They deserve credit for that. Again, I killed them. My bad. Hey, at least the Astros won the AL West. I'm just thinking about the mental gymnastics we're going to have to do if the Astros don't go as far as the Rangers. You know what? I'm just going to forget about it. It is the most interactive sports talk show. Now it's time for a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'll say it once. I'll say it again. We need more pelvic thrusts and heart hands from Jeremy Pena if we're going to get this crowd up for a theoretical next Astros home playoff game.
By the way, the heart hands has really been appropriated a lot recently.
By who?
Damar Hamlin. And now there's apparently some sort of Taylor Swift heart hand thing. It's
wow.
Like,
Jeremy Pena should have laid claim to that. He could have trademarked it.
Yeah.
He could have trademarked it. I bet there's no trademark for it. Trademark the emoji, too?
Yeah, trademark the emoji. That's how you do
it. Go for broke, man. Just
now it's too late.
Just make all the money you can. Guys, we're not allowed to celebrate this as a holiday anymore, and this is not me complaining about cancel culture. I just think it is funny that I grew up, and I used to have this day off, Christopher Columbus Day, and now you don't have Christopher Columbus Day off for the most part, but some companies do and some don't. For whatever reason, it just makes me think about my second favorite episode of The Sopranos. First favorite episode is Pine Barrens. Second favorite episode, they should call this The Gang Gets Mad About a Protest of Columbus Day.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's anti-Italian discrimination. Columbus Day is a day of Italian pride. It's our holiday, and they want to take it away.
Damn.
It's much like Pine Barrens, an episode with so much unintentional humor. And I feel like the writers were designing for that humor. But the characters in that show, being a bunch of just complete Neanderthals, getting mad about the protest of Christopher Columbus Day around a statue of Christopher Columbus, truly one of my favorite Sopranos episodes. Tony Soprano's the only person that, like, actually has wisdom. At the very end of the episode, like, he gives a monologue, and he's like, why are we mad about this? This is so stupid. We don't even know who this guy was at all. We barely are related to him. Didn't he not even do this for Italy? He did this for Spain or Portugal? Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And you can check some of the clips after the show on YouTube as well. Connor and Beard are up next. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS. Home insurance rates have gone crazy this year. Most people are seeing massive increases, 30, 40, 50%. And you might not even know that you're dealing with a massive increase in your home insurance. You're just like, you know what? Whatever. I'll take care of it later. You could take care of it right now in like 15 seconds. Text TGS Insurance Agency. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. The TGS system, as part of the fastest growing agency in the state, will just ask you for your address. You send it back and you'll get a proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. 35,000 people in the Houston area trust TGS, thousands of five-star reviews, and all you got to do is text the word money to 232323. Everything is more expensive these days. Why not save a little money on your home insurance? TGS can do that for you. It's the gold standard. Simple, fast, and easy, big savings. It's the TGS way. Text money to 232323 today.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Look at our family now.